mark, and this year the confetti is going to fall for North Carolina. They're not going to be denied this time.
Here's the deal, my man. Here's the deal.
Genius.
I don't understand for the life of me what the big deal is. Tony Romo is not going to play. He's not officially retired, but he's stepping away from the game. Stop the damn presses. Stop the damn presses.
Here's the stat that trumps everything and matters the most. The Thunder are 32-9 when Westbrook has a triple-double.
And the
so
Warriors,
when he doesn't have a triple-double,
okay.
They're not as likely at all
to win. That shows you they're not
win.
Empty numbers.
Yes, yes. Welcome, Tribe members. Thank you for joining the Tribe Pod today. I'm your host, Dave Love. And with me on the Tribe Council today is my man, Rich.
Hey, what's up, guys?
And, of course, you know who's here with me as always, Mr. Two Plates himself, Eric.
What up, y'all?
And Tribe members, we have a special guest today on the council. We got Ro.
Woo!
Going on, fellas.
Thanks for joining us, Ro. We appreciate it.
Hey, happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Hey, guys, real quick, I just want to get a mention out to, shout out to UNC. They beat Gonzaga this past week to be the champs, 71-65. Mm-hmm. And didn't you guys watch that game?
I watched most of it. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, I had money on it, so of course I watched a little bit. But, I knew it was going to be a close game. Mm-hmm. I knew it was going to be close throughout the whole entire game, and luckily, thanks to, you know, that young man, I forgot his name, but yeah, North Carolina pulled it out.
Yeah.
Honestly, I didn't watch it. My team wasn't in it, so I didn't really care.
I watched a little bit. I watched towards the end of it, and I was going for Gonzaga. I wasn't going for North Carolina.
Hater.
So I was pretty upset, you know, with the results, but I mean, this is their sixth championship. I think it was North Carolina's sixth championship.
Yeah, and something like that.
I mean, I was just going for the underdog because Gonzaga has had zero. So,
did you watch any of it, Ro?
I did watch a little bit of it. I was pulling for Oregon there because, you know, they had been in the Final Four since like 1939 or something like that. Since
wow,
that was that long ago.
I was kind of rooting for them, but. You know, I got a little, you know, I mean, North Carolina, okay, they were there last year, too, and they were there this year. And, you know, I got to be honest, guys, I'm just kind of over the whole, you know, North Carolina, you know, those same teams that are over and over, you know, kind of, it was refreshing to see, like, South Carolina coming up. It was good to see Gonzaga do well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so I just, you know, okay, so North Carolina won. I mean, I think this is Roy Williams, what, fourth one or fifth one?
I believe it's five. Yeah, it's fifth
five?
One.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, there's nothing taken away from him. He's a great coach, and he's got a great system. But, you know, I was just happy to see some of the other lesser-known schools come up and do so well, too. But, yeah, I did watch it.
Oh, okay. All right, fellas, we're going to do something a little different. This segment is called Rapid Reaction. And what it is
okay.
I'm going to ask each of you guys one question, and it's just a quick reaction to it, okay? All right?
Okay.
All right, so first up, I'm going to have Ro. I'm going to have you go off first, okay? So here we go. Ro, Patrick Ewing returns to Georgetown this past week and is hired as head coach. Do you buy or sell that? What was your reaction?
I buy it. I mean, he can't do any worse. They've been to the Big Dance in 4 years.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true. Do you think, you know, I was thinking it was just like, it's basically second helpings. And the reason why I say that is we all know he wanted to be an NBA coach. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he was, you know, assistant coach at Houston and in Charlotte for all those years. And I just
Orlando
think, he was wanting to be an NBA coach, but if you can't be an NBA coach, Georgetown is a heck of a town to school to.
I thought you said a rapid response.
Okay.
Man.
This is my rapid response. That's my only question. Okay. This guy, man. Okay.
Come on, man.
All right. Now, you know what, Two Plates? I'm coming at you now with this question. Okay? I'm going to talk about your team.
Hold up. I can't answer the...
No, it's just one.
No, it's just one.
Oh, okay.
Just one.
No. Okay, wait, my bad.
You just messed up my whole segment.
My bad, player.
Now I'm going to ask you about your team. I'm going to ask you about your team. Okay. Kevin Durant returns this week for his Golden State. Why are you looking at me like that, player? Returns this week. Yeah, I'm talking about your team. Okay. Golden State, as of this podcast, has recently won 12 straight, beating the likes of San Antonio, Houston twice, and the Washington Wizards. Do you think with Kevin Durant, is that going to mess up some of the chemistry?
Real quick, I'm going to buy that. No, I mean, in regards to not messing up the chemistry. I mean, Kevin Durant going to come in and fit in just like he has been all year. They're going to be all right. They still not going to win the finals, but they're still going to be doing their thing even when Kevin Durant get back.
Okay. Question for you, Rich. Marshawn Lynch has been reports saying that he was visiting the Raiders facility. And basically, do you think he's going to get offered a deal? And if so, do you see him in a Raider outfit next year?
I do see him in a Raider outfit, a Raider uniform next year. Hopefully, the Seahawks will, you know, let him go. And, let him go with another team because, I mean, he still is under contract with Seattle. But, yes, I do see him unretiring because he said that's what he wants to do, and I do see him with the Raiders.
Ro, I'm coming at you with another question. Seattle Seahawks GM confirms that the trade talks are real about Richard Sherman. My question to you is Richard Sherman going to be in a Seattle Seahawk uniform next season?
Yeah, I mean, I got to buy that because, look, I mean, he's been a mouthpiece over there for 4 or 5 years. He's got championship experience. I don't know how you trade that away. Given the fact that a lot of the defenses now are pretty well set in the NFL, except for my boys Dallas, their defense got decimated by trades and stuff like that and off-season signings, but no, I think he's going to wear the uniform for the Seattle Seahawks again. I can't see him leaving.
All right, thanks. And I'll come back to you there, two plates.
Yeah.
The Cavs, they beat the Celtics yesterday, 114-91. What kind of a statement did the Cavs pronounce to Boston yesterday?
To let them know they the beast of the East. You know, I mean, my thing with LeBron is in the Cleveland. I mean, whether Cleveland is one or two, it really doesn't matter. LeBron has been a 6th straight finals, and 4 of them times, they were second. They weren't even first in the East. So, I mean, it's like no matter if they're first, second, or third, Cleveland's going to the finals once again. Number 7 for LeBron.
All right.
Seven straight.
7 straight what? To the NBA Finals?
Finals, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, that's it for Rapid Reaction, folks. We're going to get into the next big news here. We're going to go into the MLB. Opening season week right here for the MLB, guys.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say, what's your expectations, your team, Rich? I'm going to go to you. It's Houston Astros is your team. What is your expectations this year for them?
Well, right now they got off to a really good start. They're 3-0. That's their first time being 3-0 in the season, to kick off a season since 2001.
Is that really an accomplishment?
Yes, it is for us. And this last game they had against the Mariners, it was a close one. We were down to the Mariners, and then we somehow pulled it off. I thought it was going to be our first loss of the season, but we pulled it out, and we're 3-0, and now we're moving on. So I do see us making the playoffs, if that's what you want to know.
They're making the playoffs.
Yeah, they're making the playoffs. That's my prediction.
And that's your expectations.
My expectations. Okay. Nothing less.
Nothing less.
No.
Ro, I don't know if you have a team that you root for in particular. And if you don't, do you have a sleeper team this season for the MLB?
I mean, I'll give you the obvious answer. I mean, the team that I've just been listening about because it's been shoved down my throat so much is the Chicago Cubs.
I know the feeling.
Come on, man. Cubbies.
But I'll give you a real good sleeper pick. If you're going to pick a team to make the playoffs that you would be like, whoa, no way, they would never make the playoffs, the Colorado Rockies.
Ooh, wow.
What you drinking over there, bro?
I'll tell you. Watch out. They got a couple of really good arms, young. I'm talking young arms. Two guys last year that came up and they were real good last year. They had real good records, real good ERA at home and stuff like that. And they bolstered them. They've got a couple of good I can't think of the word I'm looking for, but in-house upbringing, you know.
Yeah.
And they look real good on paper. I'm gonna tell you that I think they're gonna go to the playoffs. They ain't been in the playoffs in a long time,
right?
So, I mean, and it's hard up there in playing in Colorado in that thin air, but I think they're gonna make the playoffs this year. You watch out.
I mean, bro, I'm looking at the West right now. They got to deal with San Francisco and the Dodgers. You really think they finna make the playoffs with them two teams in front of them?
I believe they will. I think they will. I think you'll be surprised. They're my they're going to be my dark horse. Them and the Minnesota Twins.
Oh, the Twins. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I do. I hear what you're saying, Eric. I think, you know, given notwithstanding the fact that San Francisco and the Dodgers are there, and we all know how far the Dodgers went last year.
Yeah.
And they didn't. Their roster didn't change too much, but I like that pitching rotation out in Colorado. I think they're young, and they're hungry. And
okay.
The key with Colorado, and mark my words here. I mean, we're just a week into the season. The key with Colorado is going to be their relief pitching.
Okay, so look out for the relief pitching.
In a couple of months, you come back to me. We'll talk about it and we'll see.
They did start the season pretty strong. They're 3-1 right now, so.
I think Colorado and Minnesota are two up-and-coming teams, but I just think they're not ready. They're not there just yet.
Yeah.
Give them another year or two, they'll be there. But right now, I don't see it.
Okay. Well, I will go to you right now, but I already know your team already. So I want to go to my team, the Chicago White Sox. And this is my expectations, and it'll be a good year.
For this year?
Yes. And if they do it, it'll be a good year.
Do what?
And I'm a real.
Let me know what address to send that sympathy card is.
My expectations, and I'm being real with this, is I want them to be about 5 games out of being in the playoffs.
What? So right. I mean, so they're not gonna make the playoffs, but they're gonna be.
They're
gonna beat them. Okay.
Yeah, I want them just to be 5 games out of the playoffs.
Oh, okay.
I'm be realistic.
I can see that.
Okay.
You know. Because the White Sox, I ain't going to lie, they up and coming. They got a real nice farm system.
They got the minor leagues. Yeah.
They got some young guys down there. They did, you know what I'm saying, the trades they made or whatever. They did improve their farm system. They not ready yet.
Yeah. And one thing I do know, that the first 10 games of the season, they're going to have a better record than the Cubs. But anyway, speak about the Cubs. Go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and bring it to you there, Eric. We already know who your team is.
Yeah.
Chi-Town Cubs.
So let me ask you about your sleeper team first before we dip into the Cubs. What's your sleeper team?
My sleeper team, I will say the team that I think that is under the radar right now that could do something.
Yes, this is what I asked.
I'm going to say, let me think for a second.
Is that right? Come on.
Put me on the spot, but real quick, I'm going to say Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay
Devil Rays, even though that division is tough with Boston and New York and even Toronto. And Baltimore is going to play pretty good. Baltimore is another team that could be a sleeper. But Baltimore or Tampa Bay.
All right.
That's a good pick. I would say Tampa Bay is a good pick, Eric.
Thank you, Ro. Appreciate it.
Wow, that's good. Okay, so let's just dip into it. Your team, the Chicago Cubs. Man, come on. What is your expectations? I can almost already know what you're going to say. And how good are their chances to repeat?
You see, last year they won 103. This year I'm going to say they're going to exceed that. They're going to exceed that. Not by much, but they will win, you know, a couple more than they won last year. In regards to this whole back-to-back thing.
What's wrong with you Cubs fans?
What, man? I'm being...
Oh, my. You're being real, and you're saying exceeding 103 games. This is wrong with you Cubs fans. I don't understand you guys.
I'm saying...
You guys would be lucky if you win 95 games this year.
You mean to tell me this team not going to win 100 games?
No, I guarantee you.
Have you seen that lineup?
Yes. They're not going to win 100 games.
I know. I'm going to say 105 myself.
They're not going over 100 games. I'm telling you that right now.
All right, it don't matter. They're going to be in the playoffs. They're going to rep in the playoffs. They're going to be back in the World Series going for this back-to-back.
Okay. Rich, what is your reaction to this? I mean, is the Cubs are the favorites, as they should be.
Oh, yeah.
But what are their chances of them repeating this
and
year?
And unlike Dave, I don't hate the Cubs, so I'm going to give my honest opinion. And I don't think they will hit 100. I do agree with, like, 95, around maybe around there somewhere. They will do good. Of course, they're going to make the playoffs, and I think they will do good in the playoffs. And if they do make it to the World Series, I hope it's against my Houston Astros. That's all I got to say.
Cubs and six.
Bro, I know I got to get you into this question, too. I mean, can you please be the third person here to tell Eric how delusional he is about these Cubs?
You know what? I mean, I could see where he'd say they win 105, but I might say 100. But here's the thing. That division is weak now. I mean, you got the McCutcheon trade, kind of put the Pirates on, you know, on their heels. St. Louis ain't been what they've been in the past couple of years. It's a weak division. So I could see him saying 100, you know, 100. I don't know about 105. I mean, you Cubs fans always shoot for the moon when you shoot for it, don't you?
But,
you know,
hey, bro, it's been 108 years, man. I'm finna shoot for the
we shoot for having games.
Oh, man, I'm shooting for all the way up.
Yeah, but, I mean, I'll give them 100. You know, I'll give them 100 just because, you know, look, they're the champs, and they've got the championship smell now. You know, they know what it is to go through that experience, and they're going to use it. And, you know, those guys are older, and they're more experienced. They don't need, you know, guys like David Ross anymore because they know what it is to get there. So, and like I said, it's a weak division now. You know, their division is weak. So I could see where Eric thinks, you know, they might get 105. I'll say 100, but not 105.
Oh, okay. All right. So do you see them repeating this year?
I don't see why they can't. I mean, even though we all know, you know, in this day and age and watered down teams being what they are, it is hard to repeat as a champion no matter what professional sport you play.
Yeah.
I don't see why they can't. And, of course, they've got the best shot of anybody else to win the championship this year anyway if they didn't win last year. So I'll say they should. I expect them to.
Okay.
No.
Because, I mean, ain't no National League team has repeated since 1975. Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah.
They went back to back.
Is that the
75,
Reds?
70, yeah. Cincinnati Reds back to back, 75, 76. So that's what?
Yeah.
Over 40 years? My team got a real good chance to do it.
Looks like somebody used the Google button.
I do my research, man. What can I say, dog? I do my research a little bit. You know how I do.
You know how to use that button real good,
man. You know. Look up some facts.
All right, you guys, that's it for the MLB news. So we're going to hop into the NFL. All right. So recently, Tony Romo was, you know, released
by the
Cowboys.
That's your boy,
bro. He was released by the Cowboys because he decided that he wants to be in the booth, and he's going to join CBS, replacing Phil Simms. Okay, Eric, I'm going to go to you real quick about this. What is your position of Tony Romo, you know, leaving the Cowboys and decided to go to CBS and take Phil Simms' spot, considering, you know, you're basically the Phil Simms of the group here.
He takes it as a compliment, though.
Hey, that is my last name, though, Simms. But anyway, I mean, me myself, I was hoping he came back for one more year. I want to see, yeah, I really want to see what he had left. Because, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Tony Romo, I'm not going to say he's going to go down as one of the best quarterbacks ever. But I think if he wouldn't have got hurt, if he would have played more, I mean, we'd be talking about him like we talk about, like, Dan Marino or, you know, guys that didn't win but still are Hall of Fame worthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, he had a pretty good career. You're talking about maybe fifth all-time in passer rating?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want to say maybe he's fourth. There you go. My bad, bro. Fourth. Fourth all-time.
You're talking to a Cowboys.
In passer rating. And I even looked up, you know, some completion percentage. I think he's, what, six?
Yeah.
I want to say six.
Yeah.
So, I mean, his career was solid. It just got derailed a little bit because of injury.
Yeah.
But, I mean, is he a Hall of Famer in my opinion? I'm going to say no, but he did have a pretty good career.
Ooh.
Hey, I'm saying because of injury, Ro, I can't give it to him. He didn't play enough. He didn't.
So let me go to you, Ro, about this. What is your thoughts about Tony Romo hanging it up and joining CBS? And what do you rank him as far as a caliber or even a career-wise for Tony Romo, bro?
Well, let me just pour a little of my 40 out for Tony. It's almost, you know, calling it a season. He's there's nothing really you could say. I mean, I disagree with Eric. I think he is a Hall of Fame candidate. I don't think he's first ballot Hall of Fame, but I think he's Hall of Fame material. He's got the numbers to show it. From 2006 to 2014, he has the most fourth quarter comebacks of any of the current quarterbacks now, and I think he's even one up on Peyton Manning if I read the stats correctly when he retired. He's got all the Cowboy records in terms of passing percentage, completion, yards, touchdowns. I think the only thing he doesn't have is one on Troy Aikman. I can't remember the stat. It escapes me now. I'm going to say I was glad he retired. I didn't want him to go another year, although he was doing it. If he would have done it another year, it would have been like a revenge thing against the Cowboys and against Jerry Jones. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad he retired. Number one, I'm glad for two reasons. Number one, I don't want to see the guy end up in a wheelchair for the rest of his life.
Yeah,
and number two, I can't stand Phil Sims.
Thank you. That's what I said. That's what I said, man. Phil Sims.
So let's go to you, Rich. What was your reaction to that?
Well, whenever the news came down, I was very shocked because as a Texans fan, there was, of course, a bunch of talks of Romo going to the Texans. And I was, I don't care what the Texans say. I don't care what the GM says or the owner says. They were banking on Tony Romo coming to the Texans. And whenever Tony Romo decided to hang it up and go to CBS, I mean, it really put us in a hard position. I mean, we're gonna have to rely on the draft or Jay Cutler or something. I don't know. Some free agent quarterback out there. I know the Texans are freaking out right now because they were banking on Tony Romo once he got released. I do agree with Eric. I don't know if he's going to make maybe not like Rose said, not first ballot. Maybe he'll get into the Hall of Fame, but I just don't see it.
He's definitely in the discussion.
He's into the
discussion.
Oh, yeah,
he's in the discussion. He's just going to come up a little short.
Because in the times when it mattered in the playoffs, he didn't really show up. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had that game against Seattle where he just, like, muffed the whenever they were about to kick, I think, the field goal or something like that.
Yeah, but that didn't have anything to do with quarterback ability.
He didn't catch the ball.
But, I mean, that is gonna play a big role, though. That is going to play a big role, though, in regards to him making the Hall of Fame, though. The fact that he only got, what, two career playoff wins?
Yeah, two career, six tries, two career.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm not saying you got to be a winner, a Super Bowl winner to be in the Hall of Fame, but you got to do a little bit better than that, especially with the stats that he put up.
I don't know. You could make the case to say that. I mean, that, okay, he didn't win the big one. He never won a Super Bowl. He never even went to a conference championship or, you know, Super Bowl game to try to win. But neither did Terrell Owens, and everybody's yelling and screaming he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but it's quarterbacks are looked at a little different. Let's be honest. Quarterbacks, you know, yeah, I mean, without that ring, it don't mean, you know, but quarterbacks, they are looked at a little different compared to, like, receivers and, you know, running backs and stuff like that. Is it fair? No, but that's the way it is.
You know, what my two cents about this is basically Tony Romo said, I don't play for Dallas. The only team that wants me is the Houston Texans. He said, hell no, I'd rather go in the booth to play with that.
That's actually not true because he actually came out and said that the Texans were his top team if he decided not to retire.
Yeah, he wanted to say that.
No, he wanted to go to the Texans.
So why didn't he?
Because he thought about his health. And he actually did think about himself. He thought about himself and said,
you know, if I'm getting hurt with one of the best offensive line in Dallas and then going to Houston with their sorry-ass offensive line, you know what I'm saying? He's like, shoot, forget that. That's something for Jay Cutler.
The other thing you guys have to look at, too, is what is his market value? So mm-hmm. if you're talking about bringing Tony Romo on, he was supposed to make $12 million this year with Dallas.
Yeah, it was 24? I thought it was $24 million.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. 24.
Yeah, $24 million. Sit on the bench. Yeah.
So was Houston willing to pay that?
Do you see what we paid that bum, Brock Osweiler? I'm sure the Texans would have gave up a lot more.
Because he had that one good season.
Yeah, so I think the Texans would have gave up a lot for Tony Romo. I don't know about multiple-year deal, but a one-year deal solid with solid pay.
Serious incentives.
Serious incentives based on,
you know, plan time and stuff like that. You got to factor all that into that.
Because, I mean, the Texans, I'm telling you, they are desperate for a quarterback, and they're screwed now because their number one choice was Tony Romo. They don't want Cutler. They even said they're not interested in Cutler or Kaepernick. So now they're going to have to head into the draft and pick somebody.
Now they're stuck with Ben Savage.
Is it Fred Savage? I thought it was Fred Savage.
Is it Fred or
it's
Tom Savage? Tom Savage, I'm sorry. Okay, well, that's about NFL news. So let's jump in, fellas, to the NBA. All right, let's talk about your boy, Russell Westbrook,
my boy.
All right, he's basically officially going to average a triple-double.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Okay? Mm-hmm. He's basically going to pass Oscar Robertson. We know that. You know, he just needs one more as of this podcast. So, let me ask you, is he a lock for MVP because of this?
Lock? No. But does that give him the edge? And what I see is pretty much an even race between him and Harden. I'm going to say, that gives him the slight edge over Harden for this year's MVP. I mean, come on, not only averaging the triple-double for the season, he's going to break the record for the most triple-doubles in one season. Yeah, that's the tiebreaker, in my opinion.
Rich?
I'm going to go, and I never agree with Stephen A. Smith, but I'm going to agree with him. I think we are going to see our first ever co-MVP.
No, that ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. Bro, what is your reaction to this? Is he a lock for MVP?
I mean, at this point, when you're talking about bringing up NBA greats like Oscar Robertson, who averaged a triple-double for an entire season, I think he retired with an average of a triple-double. I don't know how you can't make him the MVP. I know the last time we all talked, I was pretty sure Harden was a lock for it, and not to disappoint Rich, but I got to go with Eric on this one. I think there's no way that you can't give him the MVP at this point. I mean, you're talking a whole season of 42 games or 41 games of.
He's at 41 right now. Yeah.
It's unheard of. It's really unheard of. I mean, since 1961 or whenever.
It was 62.
He did that.
Yeah.
What
the
so,
thing? The thing with
I can't see how you can't make him the MVP.
The thing with that is that whenever Oscar averaged that triple double, he still didn't win MVP. They gave it to Bill Russell, who had a better
record.
Who had a better record than the team that he was playing for. So I think wins are going to matter in this. I mean, Russell's playing out of his mind. I'm not going to lie. I mean, Russell Westbrook is playing out of his mind. I think it's going to be a very tight race. I mean, let's just see what happens.
It's going to go down to the
But I'm just saying there's that no matter about triple-doubles, even the guy that averaged it didn't even win MVP.
All I can say, there's no way there's going to be a co-MVP. There's no way. They can't do that. I mean, who would even want it if you say co-MVP? Why? I would be like, I don't want that.
See, that's what I was telling
you. That's honorable mention, basically, you're telling me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to flip a little bit here. I was like you, bro. I was like you. I thought for sure, Harden would win this. And the reason why I said that was I didn't think he was going to average this triple-double for the whole season.
Mm.
And I'm not done playing. Hold on.
Nice.
I'm just saying, But my thing is Russell Westbrook, give it to the man. You know, let's quit downplaying a triple-double. All right? Some people are downplaying this, a triple-double, and I was one of them. And now it's time to really look into this. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to do that, whether you're playing team ball or not.
It's damn near impossible. Damn near impossible.
Now, but the reason why, too, I want to give it to him because this is Westbrook's championship right here. Give it to him. Because you know what? I heard Harden, when they're trying to talk to him about MVP, he said he ain't even concerned about that. He's concerned about winning the losses. Well, Westbrook, when I look at him, this is all he's concerned about.
Did somebody ask him that same question? I can tell. You can tell. How can you tell this?
I can tell, man. Just give him the MVP. This is what he worked for. Give it to him. Because Harden is on to bigger and better things than the MVP. He sees the higher picture. I mean, Russell Westbrook, you know, this is the only thing I'm getting tired of about people talking about, oh, he's carried a sorry team, you know.
Which he has.
Okay. But he didn't have to be the way he is now. Like, Allen Iverson, did Allen Iverson have to average a triple-double? No. But he took the team, his sorry team, to the NBA Finals.
Allen Iverson couldn't average a triple-double.
He didn't have to. Difference. He didn't have to.
And good for him. But Russell Westbrook grew.
Same thing with LeBron. He had nobody. He still took him to the finals. Russell Westbrook is going to be out in the first round. He's lucky if he wins one playoff game this season. Lucky if he wins one.
And
you know what I'm saying? And same thing. I just mentioned two greats. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So let me just do this. I told you this before. In 2010, who did it by himself with nobody with a record of 62-20?
Derrick Rose.
Mm-hmm. He had nobody on his team. Same thing with Russell Westbrook. He had to average a triple-double, and he went into the Eastern Conference Finals. So my thing is, Ian, people are saying, oh, he has nobody on his team. Well, we all thought last year, even without Kevin Durant, Westbrook and the Thunder was going to make the playoffs in the West. Did we really think that the Denver Nuggets were going to be better than the Oklahoma City Thunder? No. Did we think, I mean, honestly, do we think that, who else is in the West? Whoever's in the West, I mean,
Portland.
Do we really think Portland was going to be better than them? No, come on. Quit thinking. Don't even think about that.
Nah, but I'm still saying that OKC is overachieving for what I thought they was going to do this year. I said if they made the playoffs, they would barely make it as the eighth seed. That's what I thought. He got these boys damn near in the fifth spot right now. They damn near five. Mm-hmm. I mean, do he need to average a triple-double? No. But the fact that he is, I mean, you can't hate on that because that's something that ain't nobody else in the NBA done but Oscar Robertson.
I'm saying give him the MVP because that's obviously what his goal was this year.
I mean, he only going to take that team so far because they not real talented. I mean, his supporting cast is not real good.
Well, I just mentioned teams that weren't real talented. And they didn't get knocked out in the first round because that's what's
going to happen. I mean, and you assuming he's going to get knocked out in the first round. I mean,
he's going to win one playoff game.
Now, in about 3 weeks, if it happened, then we could, you know, revisit this conversation.
If it happens, I'll buy you.
But you're assuming right now that they're going to get knocked out in the first round. Right, but, you know, we're going to see, man. You know, only time's going to tell.
And they're six.
They're two games behind the Clippers.
Three games.
They three?
Yeah.
Okay, they'll be then six.
They're going to be six.
Six place wins.
Okay.
Still better than what I thought it was going to be.
They'll face the Rockets.
By the logic I've been hearing about wins versus triple-doubles versus the team strength with other players, then you're going to have to put Kawhi Leonard ahead of James Harden in that respect.
Well, no, Kawhi started playing like this after the All-Star break. I remember whenever, because we talked about Kawhi, because one of our friends we work with is a big San Antonio Spurs fan, and he started getting over 30 points a game and everything after the All-Star break. James Harden and Russell Westbrook have been doing this all season. They've been going off all season.
You know what, bro? I disqualify.
I mean, you expected Harden to do this well already.
Not a lot of people.
I didn't expect him to do anything.
Expect Russell Westbrook to do what he's done this past season. When Kevin Durant left, everybody kind of the air went out of all the OKC fans. Mm-hmm. You know, the air collective air just kind of left.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't expect him to do what he did this year. So, given that and that he's put them in a spot, you know, to go to the playoffs, even if, like Dave says, they don't win a game, I don't know that it matters at this point. I got to say, I think he's a lock for the MVP just by some of the other reasons that they've actually put MVPs, you know, given MVP trophies out. I mean, I know what you say about LeBron and Stephen Curry and stuff like that. I don't know. I don't know how you don't give him the trophy at this point.
All right. So he is looks like everybody on this panel except for Rich is saying it's a laugh.
I'm no Flip Bayless, that's why. Plus, I got $50 on it.
About to lose that 50. To me. All right,
another topic in the NBA. Okay, listen, guys. In the past week, the Wizards were going against the Warriors, Golden State Warriors, and, you know, the Warriors were up big, right? There was only like 5 seconds left. JaVale McGee went up for a three. They're already up by 20.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they got a problem with that. They said that the Warriors are cocky and disrespectful for running up the board, okay? And another incident 2 days later, the Toronto Raptors were going against the Indiana Pacers. Mm-hmm. And there was 3 seconds left. Indiana was up about 17 points. And Lance Stephenson had a wide open layup, and he went for it. And P.J. Tucker and DeMar DeRozan had a real big problem with that, started shoving him and everything off the court, whatever. And they're like, oh, you know, they interview him after the game, DeMar DeRozan and P.J. Tucker, and they said that he was very disrespectful and classless, they said, of Lance Stephenson. My question to everybody, and I'm going to start with you, Rich, is the NBA, are these players right, or is the NBA gotten soft?
I think the NBA has gotten soft, and I don't think DeMar DeRozan should be talking at all, because Lance Stephenson actually posted a video after of DeMar DeRozan doing the exact same thing against the 76ers. There was like four or three seconds left, and he ran up and actually did like a windmill dunk just to do it. And they're going to win the game. They were up by like 20-something points. So I don't know why DeMar DeRozan even got pissed, because he did the exact same thing. I don't know about... Like, I don't think that he should have did it, because, I mean, he should have just ran out the clock. I mean, I don't see why he would have done that, but there's also no reason to get so upset about it like the Raptors did. Because whenever DeMar DeRozan did it against the 76ers, they just inbounded the ball, and the game was over. Mm-hmm. I think some players are just too soft.
Ro, same question to you. Are these players right? Was that signs of disrespectfulness, or... are they just being sore losers?
Are we even having this discussion in 1989 and it's the Detroit Pistons doing the same thing?
True. I mean, the league has changed so much since then.
Yeah, the league has gone real soft in the past 10 years. I mean, I understand that they try to protect their audience, you know, to make the games as fair as possible, to be as fair as possible to the teams that, you know, are despaired and don't have great players in their teams and, you know, things like that. But, I mean, you play until the game is over.
Right. Yeah.
You play until the game is over. I don't know that, you know, and the other thing, too, is we've seen, large leads disappear in the last 2 minutes of a game. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I mean, you play until the game is over. And like I said, if you ask Bill Laimbeer that question, you get a totally different answer. You know, you'll get the same answer because, you know, the game has changed. And you're right. It is. I understand what people are saying when they say it's soft, but I don't know. You just got to play until the game is over. That's all I can say.
Eric, same question to you, buddy. Is it soft? Or do they have a point of them saying that they're being disrespectful?
Man, I agree with Ro. I agree with Rich. The NBA is soft as hell. You know, and also Golden State, they are cocky, they are arrogant, but not because of what JaVale McGee did. Like I said, I have no problem with that whatsoever. I mean, man, get your points, get your stats. Them stats gonna lead to more money. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if they don't want them scoring that late in the game, play defense.
Play defense, yeah.
You know, I mean, damn, stop them. I mean, what was, why, how did dude get that wide open? How did Lance Stephenson get that wide open, mm-hmm. even though it was like, what, 3 or 4 seconds left? Get back on defense. Mm-hmm. Stop being lazy. Play defense. Yes, the game was over, but play to the horn.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't do that. And, I mean, if I was Lance Stephenson or any, I would have did the same thing. Go give me an easy layup, a free 2 points. I'm going to take it. Why not? You giving it to me? Take it.
Yeah, I totally agree. They're just being sore losers because, you know, you're getting taught in early elementary school when you're playing basketball to play to the horn.
Yeah.
Rings, you know, buzz. So, I mean, you're just being sore losers. You're getting paid, and this is what you're doing. And same thing with the flipping the other side. Say Toronto went for the last second shot. even though they're down 20 points, mm-hmm. teams take open three to take it just to get the score closer with a couple seconds left. But we all know the outcome, but they still do it.
Yeah.
And the, when they say it's classist and disrespectful, the only thing I thought was disrespectful is after the game when they interviewed Paul George, Mr. PG-13, and they asked him about, you know, them saying it's classist about Lance Stephenson. He couldn't even stick up for his boy Lance. He's saying, oh, you know, Lance is Lance. That was, you know, that was not right for him to do that. Really, man? Really? I don't know if you realize this, Paul George, but your Indiana Pacers team has been irrelevant ever since Lance Stephenson left. You need a somebody like that, you know? I wish I had somebody like that on the Bulls team, you know, to get that fire going, something, do little antics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his I don't know what he's why he's being like that. Why wouldn't he stick up for his boy? You know, even if he isn't his boy, it's his teammate. And then I felt bad because Lance Stephenson had to apologize. What is he apologizing for? Mm-hmm. This is how soft the league is. It's crazy. I say, but I watched the college games the past weekend, and they were more physical than the NBA.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy how soft this league
is. And with the McGee thing, you said he tried to take a three, right?
Yeah.
Why get upset about that? Let him take the three and let him interval Shaq in the full again. I mean, just let him do it. I don't understand why you get upset about that.
Okay, fellas, that's about it what we have for today on the show. But I do want to have one question for Ro, okay? In this next week or two, we're going to have we have the thing called the Tribe Starting Five. And we got all the positions filled. Yes, Richard, I'm mentioning because you still haven't put it up. And we still got to do the point guards of the NBA, okay? What is your top five all-time great point guards in the NBA?
Whoa, wow. All time, Let's see. Well, I gotta go. Pistol Pete Maravich.
Pistol Pete.
Wait, are you going from five to one or one to five?
Is there any kind of order? They don't have to be in order.
I don't really. I could put them in order, but
no, you don't. We just want to know what your top five because we're gonna put that out there and have a poll because you know everybody has a top. Their top five. Everybody has a different top five, so we're trying to get a poll going.
Okay. I would. Yeah. Point guards. I mean, so let me put it down, and then I'll rank them as I put them down. Pistol Pete, I gotta say Allen Iverson. I gotta say the glove, Gary Payton. I don't know that. I hate to say Magic Johnson, but I'll say Magic Johnson.
You would hate to say Magic Johnson.
Well, no, I don't hate to say Magic Johnson, but he was a point forward. I don't know that. I mean, was he considered a point guard?
He was considered a point guard. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, well, yeah, then you got to say Magic.
Oh yeah,
you got to say Magic. Pistol Pete, Magic, Allen Iverson, the glove, and I think I need one more, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Isaiah Thomas.
That's a tough man. That is
John Stockton.
I gotta say John Stockton.
No, okay. Wow. I was like, he's not gonna not say John Stockton. I'm like, or Isaiah Thomas.
Right. That's what I can't believe. You didn't say Isaiah Thomas, man. I put Isaiah Thomas as my number two. Yeah. Maybe two or three.
He's my number one.
Number one.
I told you that millions of times.
Crazy as hell, man. Come on.
He's my number one.
Yeah. I mean, I could say Isaiah. Yeah. I mean, okay. Let me take Gary out of there and put Isaiah in there, yeah.
You might
could take AI, Allen Iverson out, because, I mean, really, he was considered a two-guard. I mean, I look at him as a two-guard, even though he was built like a point guard.
Yeah.
He was really a two-guard.
Yeah, you're right, because he had
Eric Snow, a majority of his career, he played with Eric Snow, and Eric Snow played point guard.
Eric Snow, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
We appreciate for your top five. I'm going to wrap it up here, fellas. Rich, where can everybody find us at?
On Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. It's all at The Tripod. And if you want to email us, it's thetribecast16@gmail.com. And you can send us your questions, your reactions, your anything. Just those are our outlets where you can contact us.
Ro, where can they find you at?
You can find me on Twitter at R-O-S-E-R-A-G-E. That's Rose Rage, at Rose Rage.
All right. Well, that's about it. Ro, I want to say thank you for joining the council today.
Thanks a lot,
it's
a
real pleasure to have you on. We enjoy you all the time.
We'll have you on again real soon, man. For real.
Yeah, no. Cool. Cool, fellas. Yeah, I enjoy it. Like I said, each time I come on, you guys have put it together now, and you guys actually, I don't mean this in a disparaging way, but you guys actually sound like you know what you're doing.
Thanks, man. We'll take that with a grain of salt.
I enjoy listening to you guys, and thanks for having me.
Thanks, bro. All right, for my boy Rich.
Hey, thank you for listening.
And Eric?
I can't hear it on my headset, but hey, call out.
All right, I'm Dave Love. Everybody, dream big, live bigger. Peace.